I received a mail from a dear godbrother of mine in which he refers to his unusual reactions on reading a section of Srimad Bhagavatam, giving the impression that he finds some parts of it boring and some parts of it, well, he used the word distasteful, we could say disgusting. What's going on? This is a devotee who I've known almost since I joined the movement. He was one of my first temple presidents. He's a bit secluded away from most devotees. Anyway, this is what he wrote. He asked me a question about the Bhagavatam and his reaction to it. So let's read it and then let's discuss it. He wrote, "I have been reading the 9th canto and I have found it to be a rather difficult read. I really have found it very difficult to read the on and on lists of names, chapter after chapter, and then when it got to the story of Sodas, who was cursed to become a man-eater, and then he devoured a brahmana right in front of his wife. That was a bit too much. I actually found it very distasteful. I became frightened that I had become offensive to the Bhagavatam. To me, it was not something spiritually enlivening and beautiful and devotional, but rather I found it very uncomfortable. As you know, I struggle with my isolation and lack of association, and so I read Srila Prabhupada's books to feel enlivened and connected. And 99.99% of the time, I am so happy to read and hear Srila Prabhupada's wonderful words. And since I have read the 9th canto many, many times before, it was strange that I reacted that way this time. But I guess my consciousness is really suffering lately, so that particular section and a lot of that canto really hit me in the wrong way. I'm sorry to bother you about this, but for me it has become a stumbling block and I respect your Krishna consciousness, so I'm hoping you'll be able to help me. I was hoping you could shed some light on how to read this 9th canto and that particular pastime with a positive and proper state of mind. Very much looking forward to your reply." So, some parts seem boring, other parts might seem blood-curdling, maybe disgusting. Names, lists can be challenging to us because we want something more interesting. Although they're quite common, we'll find in various Puranas, in the presentation, the summarized presentation of Sri Rasik Mangal, which I presented and published, I made a note about that there are long lists of names of devotees. And I made a note that we shouldn't just skip over it because these are important devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Krishna Tula Bhagavat Bibhu Sarva Shrai, Prati Shloke Prati Akare Nana Artakoi." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the Bhagavatam is equal to Krishna in power and opulence and giving shelter to all. And in every verse and in every syllable, there are various meanings. Still, these sections with long lists of names, they're not generally much recited, quoted, commented on. How many times have you sat in a Bhagavatam class and someone reads out a list or recites from memory a list of names? We find getting right toward the end of the Bhagavatam, Shukdev Goswami himself comments on this. And this is the 12th canto, chapter 13, text 14. "Kata imaste katita mahiyasam vitaya lokeshu yasha pareyusham vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho vacho vibhutir datu paramartyam." Shukadev Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj, mighty Parikshit, I have related to you the narrations of all these great kings who spread their fame throughout the world and then departed. My real purpose was to teach transcendental knowledge and renunciation. Stories of kings lend power and opulence to these narrations, but do not in themselves constitute the ultimate aspect of knowledge. What do we understand from that? Well, the Bhagavatam is none different from Krishna, but some parts, we learn from this statement of Shukadeva Goswami, some parts of the Bhagavatam are more essential than others. Even the stories of kings do not in themselves constitute the ultimate aspect of knowledge. They can shed light, they can give us teachings can be gleaned from them. And in the list of the great personalities, their names are there. It's not just anyone's names are there. Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gachandiha, yamalayam, sheshas, tavara, ichanti, kimascharyam, atafparam. Every day, so many people die and go to Yamaraj. The wonderful thing is that those who are not yet dead are making plans to live on. They think they're going to stay here. So every day, so many people pass away. And they're forgotten. They're not even known when they're living, practically. But these names of these kings are included because they are important. And who's important? From the worldly point of view, at the present time I'm speaking, Joe Biden, President of America, is important. Then President Xi of China is important. Putin of Russia is important. Prime Minister Modi is important. But spiritually speaking, who is important? Jai bhaje shai baro abhakta hino cha. Who is important, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, is someone who worships Krishna. Others are considered lowly and pretty bad, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So their names are purifying, the names of these kings. They all had so many important activities in Krishna consciousness, which Bhagavatam's big, but you can't include everything. So we can hear their names and bow our heads and understand that by hearing their names are important. They are included for our purification. By remembering the names of these kings, just hearing them, we become purified. So we can take it in that spirit. Regarding sodas, well, everyone has emotions. Sometimes we read the same thing or we listen to the same music and it strikes us differently on different occasions. Consciousness psychology is a very complex subject. Why we react in certain ways to certain impetuses, it can be very complex. But in general, we should understand, it's a standard point. Bhagavatam is Krishna, and we can relate to Krishna in different ways. Different people see Krishna in different ways. When Krishna entered the wrestling arena, the young women saw him as Cupid personified. The wrestlers saw him like a thunderbolt. The yogis saw him as the universal form or the Different people saw him in different ways. So we may also see the Bhagavatam in different ways at different times. But in general, we can take the advice of Balaram, who spoke to Rukmini, who was disturbed on seeing the horrible scene of, to her it was very horrible, that her beloved brother had been insulted by Krishna by being tied up and having a punk hairstyle done by Krishna on him, little bits of hair here and there sticking out all jagged. And Rukmini was very disturbed. But Balaram told Rukmini, sweet smiling Rukmini, do not be aggrieved by false notions caused by ignorance. Only because of false notions does one become unhappy. But one can immediately remove this unhappiness by discussing the philosophy of actual life. Be happy on that platform only. So emotions are there. At the highest stage of Krishna consciousness, emotions rule, not philosophy. But before we come to that platform, we have to control our emotions or even see our emotions and understand everything from a philosophical platform and not be carried away by our emotions. Okay, let's read that section of Sodas in the Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9. It's pretty horrible. Maybe it's not for children under, I don't know, children nowadays, they can watch anything on the internet. Okay, it's it's for everyone. Who is Sodas? Not one of the most famous names, but he's right there in the Bhagavatam. So let's read all about it. Sarvakama had a son named Sudas, whose son, known as Sodas, was the husband of Damayanti. Sodas is sometimes known as Mitrasaha or Kalmashapada. Because of his own misdeed, Mitrasaha was sonless and was cursed by Vashishta to become a man-eater, Rakshasa. And King Parikshit asked, O Shukadeva Goswami, why did Vashishta, the spiritual master of Sodas, curse that great soul? I wish to know of this. If it is not a confidential matter, please describe it to me. Jiva Goswami explains at this point that Parikshit means that if it's not a confidential matter, it means that if in that incident there appears to be a fault of Vishishta, then I don't want to hear it. Please don't tell me. Anyway, Shukdev Goswami replied, once Sodas went to live in the forest, where he killed a man-eater, Rakshasa, but forgave and released the man-eater's brother. As we'll hear, that was an example of misplaced compassion, because a Rakshasa, you can forgive him and give him his life, but that brother decided to take revenge. Thinking to harm the king, he became the cook at the king's house. And at this point, Jiva Goswami also comments that he couldn't exactly become the king's cook exactly, because it's only a known, trusted person could be the king's cook, but he entered into the consciousness of the king's cook. Well, one day, the king's spiritual master, Vashishtha Muni, was invited for dinner, and the Rakshasa cook served him human flesh. While examining the food given to him, Vashishtha Muni, by his mystic power, could understand that it was unfit to eat, being the flesh of a human being. He was very angry at this and immediately cursed Sodas to become a man-eater. So you see, by his mystic power, he could understand that it was the flesh of a human being, but he didn't extend his mystic power further to, or even ask, to try to understand why he had been served human flesh, and if it was actually Sodas' fault. So taking a cue from Parikshit Maharaj, we shouldn't see a fault in Vasishtha. Here, after all, what goes on among great souls is going on a higher level than that of us who are hopelessly lost in samsara, in material consciousness. When Vasishtha understood that the human flesh had been served by the Rakshasa, not by the king, he undertook 12 years of austerity to cleanse himself for having cursed the faultless king. Meanwhile, King Sodas took water and chanted the Sharpa mantra, preparing to curse Vasishtha, but his wife Madhyanti forbade him to do so. Then the king saw that the 10 directions, the sky and the surface of the globe were full of living entities everywhere. Now this section is not commented on. That would be really something to comment on, that instead of taking revenge, he saw there are living entities everywhere. He's just another one. He shouldn't become so upset. He should accept his fate. Thus acquired the propensity of a man-eater and received on his leg a black spot, for which he was known as Kalmashapada. Kalmash, it means a stain. Can mean something like a sin also, and pada means on the foot. Once King Kalmashapada saw a Brahmana couple engaged in sexual intercourse in the forest. Being influenced by the propensity of a Rakshasa and being very hungry, King Sodas seized the Brahmana. Then the poor woman, the Brahmana's wife, said to the king, "O hero, you are not actually a man-eater, rather you are among the descendants of Maharaja Ikshvaku. Indeed, you are a great fighter, the husband of Madhyanti. You should not act irreligiously in this way. I desire to have a son. Please, therefore, return my husband, who has not yet impregnated me. O king, O hero, this human body is meant for universal benefits. If you kill this body untimely, you will kill all the benefits of human life. Here is a learned, highly qualified Brahmana engaged in performing austerity and eagerly desiring to worship the Supreme Lord, the Supersoul who lives within the core of the heart in all living entities. My Lord, you are completely aware of the religious principles. As a son never deserves to be killed by his father, here is a Brahmana who should be protected by the king and never killed. How does he deserve to be killed by a Rajarshi like you? You are well known and worshipped in learned circles. How dare you kill this Brahmana who is a saintly, sinless person, well versed in Vedic knowledge? Killing him would be like destroying the embryo within the womb or killing a cow. Without my husband, I cannot live for a moment. If you want to eat my husband, it would be better to eat me first, for without my husband, I am as good as a dead body." Being condemned by the curse of Vasishtha, King Sodas devoured the Brahmana, exactly as a tiger eats its prey. Even though the Brahmana's wife spoke so pitiably, Sodas was unmoved by her lamentation. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, "This is an example of destiny." See philosophical. Understand philosophically. King Sodas was condemned by the curse of Vasishtha, and therefore, even though he was well qualified, he could not restrain himself from becoming a tiger-like Rakshasa, for this was his destiny. Talabhyate dukavad anyata sukham. As one is put into distress by destiny, destiny can also put one in a happy situation. Destiny is extremely strong, but one can change destiny if one comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. Continuing, when the chaste wife of the Brahmana saw that her husband, who was about to discharge semen, had been eaten by the man-eater, she was overwhelmed with grief and lamentation. Thus she angrily cursed the king. O foolish, sinful person, because you have eaten my husband when I was sexually inclined and desiring to have the seed of a child, I shall also see you die when you attempt to discharge semen in your wife. In other words, whenever you attempt to sexually unite with your wife, you shall die. Thus the wife of the Brahmana cursed King Saudas, known as Mitrasaha. Then, being inclined to go with her husband, she set fire to her husband's bones, fell into the fire herself, and went with him to the same destination. After 12 years, when King Saudas was released from the curse by Vashishta, he wanted to have sexual intercourse with his wife. But the queen reminded him about the curse by the Brahmani, and thus he was checked from sexual intercourse. After being thus instructed, the king gave up the future happiness of sexual intercourse and by destiny remained sonless. Later, with the king's permission, the great saint Vashishta begot a child in the womb of Madhyanti. So, there you have it. The commentaries of the acharyas don't have much to say. They treat it matter-of-factly, just like, yeah, this happened, that happened. They don't say how horrible, how nasty. What's going on here? Bibhatsa, we'll find in the description of the various rasas, as we find in the Natya Shastra, and we, as Gaurya Vaishnava is known from Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one of the rasas are the emotions, I suppose you could say in this case, the secondary rasas are like emotions that nourish, they're not nourished. Udipan is nourishment, but they are emotions felt in relationship with Krishna. And in this material world, they are reflected also. So we have happiness in the spiritual world, happiness in the material world. We have laughter in the spiritual world, we have laughter in the material world. We have bibhatsa, which is just like being something horrible, ghastly. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada uses the word ghastly in relation to bibhatsa. Maybe disgusting. It's there in the material world, and there are horror movies which people like. Some people like that genre. Well, it's big. They're kind of huge blockbuster movies, horror movies. We'll find throughout Shastra descriptions of bibhatsa, because it's not just something in a movie, but it's in real life also. So there are descriptions. Bhima himself, his very name, suggests that he can be really horrible. It's terrible, terrible. The word Bhima, Bhishma, means the same thing. Terrible. And there are various narrations of him being terrible. Kichaka was a lusty, powerful commander of the forces of Virat. King Virat. Practically, he ruled King Virat because he was so powerful, Kichak. He lusted after Draupadi, and as a result, Bhima pounded his body into a ball. He killed him, but his body, he couldn't be recognized. It was just all into one ball. The most bibhatsa, terrible narration of Bhima, it's got to be the most. There are quite a few, but it's got to be the most is his drinking the blood of Dushasana. Let's go through that. Drinking the blood of Dushasana. Yes, Bhima, he vowed to do this when Dushasana was trying to disrobe Draupadi. In Bhima's heart, day and night, even when he was, for 13 years, he never forgot this. It was his anger, we may say, sometimes dies down, but Bhima, the more he thought of it, the more he became angry. Even when he was enjoying with Hirdimbi and having a nice time, but there was always in his heart his greatest desire in life. He vowed at that time, "I will drink you. Everyone will see me drink your blood." At that time, he vowed to kill all the sons of Dhritarashtra, which means many times on the battlefield, Arjuna had the opportunity to kill them, some of them, but he left them. No, that's for Bhima. You are going to be killed by Bhima, so I'm letting you off. Okay, so the time had come. Dushasana's chariot hurtled toward Dushasana. Bhima whirled his huge iron mace over his head and roared furiously. Dushasana threw a blazing dart at him, but Bhishma smashed it with his mace. In moments he was upon Dushasana and he struck him a dreadful blow on his forehead. The prince was thrown 20 paces from his chariot. He thudded to the ground, his ornaments strewn, and he lay stunned for some moments. Blood flowed from his head and his body shook. Remembering his promise in the dice game, Bhima leapt down from his chariot and approached his fallen foe. As Dushasana struggled to his feet, Bhima struck him again and sent him flying. He dropped to the earth, gasping for breath. Bhima stood over him and unsheathed his sword. Looking down at the semi-conscious prince, he remembered all the evils he had committed, in particular his unforgivable treatment of Draupadi and of the Pandavas as they had left for the forest. Bhima seized his terrified foe by the arm and dragged him across the field. Dushasana tried to scramble free, kicking out frantically, but Bhima twisted his arm until he screamed, "Bhima, pure devotee of Krishna!" This, at the moment, is his service to Krishna. The Pandava then brought his sword down in a flashing arc and cut off Dushasana's arm. Didn't kill him immediately. Bhima's voice rang out across the battlefield. "Here is the arm that seized Draupadi's sanctified hair. Watch as I drink his blood." All over the battlefield, the battle had stopped. Everyone was just stopping, stunned, watching. They couldn't believe what was going on. Dushasana writhed in agony as blood pumped from his shoulder. Bhima kicked him onto his back and dropped onto him with his knees. The Pandava's roars, means Bhima's roars, reverberated for miles, petrifying the warriors on both sides, even on his own side. He grasped the ivory hilt of his sword with both hands. Dushasana's blood-smeared features contorted in terror. Bhima smiled, relishing the long-awaited moment of revenge. Then suddenly plunged his sword into Dushasana's chest. As the Kaurava died screaming, Bhima ripped him open and tore out his heart. He leaned down and with cupped hands drank his foaming blood as it flowed from his chest. Standing up, he shouted, "The taste of this blood is sweeter than my mother's milk, sweeter than honey, sweeter than pure water, sweeter than the nectar of heaven." His face smeared with blood, Bhima then looked down at Dushasana and said, "You are now safe since you are dead. There is nothing more I can do to you." All the Kauravas who saw Bhima drinking Dushasana's blood were horrified. Many of them fell to the earth out of fear. Others ran away crying, "He is not human. Save us from Bhima." Of course, Madhva comments that Bhima didn't actually swallow it. But it's horrible. Disgusting. Story of the pure devotee of Krishna. It's not for every pure devotee of Krishna. Garuda eats snakes. That's not for everyone. Here in the ninth canto, we find Parashuram on his father's order killing his own mother. Ooh! Don't worry, it's the 10th canto soon. It's going to be nice. Krishna's childhood pastime, stealing the bata, Rasa Leela. You get some relief in the 10th canto. But in the 10th canto, we also have Krishna and Balaram fighting Jarasandha, for instance. That description. Elephants fell to the ground, their foreheads split open. Cavalry horses fell with severed necks. Chariots fell with their horses, flags, drivers, and masters all shattered. And foot soldiers collapsed with severed arms, thighs, and shoulders. On the battlefield, hundreds of rivers of blood flowed from the limbs of... Hundreds of rivers of blood flowed from the limbs of the humans, elephants, and horses who had been cut to pieces. In these rivers, arms resembled snakes, human heads, turtles, dead elephants, islands. Can you see there's rivers of blood with dead elephants like an island floating in them? Human heads like a turtle in the river. Dead horses looked like crocodiles flowing in the river. Hands and thighs appeared like fish. Human hair like water weeds, bows like waves, and various weapons looking like clumps of bushes. The rivers of blood teemed with all of these. Chariot wheels looked like terrifying whirlpools, and precious gems and ornaments resembled stones and gravels in the rushing red rivers, which aroused fear in the timid and joy in the wise. Well, you might have wanted some relief after hearing the story of Sodas Kalmashapada eating the Brahmana, but I'm laying it on, giving more and more of it. But apart from the Bibhatsa Rasa, the horror movie feeling, it's didactic also. Instructional. This is the material world. Misery is unavoidable. Severe suffering is unavoidable in this world. We're not just talking about sometimes getting a cold and sneezing. And the nature of this material world is that one moment everything may be going fine, and in the next it's just complete disaster. Sodas was very happy. Oh, my guru has come. What can be more auspicious? Serve him a nice meal, he'll be so happy. And all of a sudden, Sodas was cursed. The Brahmani, she was with her husband, the woman's desire to beget a child was just about to be fulfilled, and then the man she loved was eaten in front of her eyes. And if it had been a Rakshasa, that would be bad enough. It was a Rakshasa, but she knew it. It was the king. And she just couldn't. How could the king do this? It was just heartrending. The best situation you could imagine, just what you want, and then it can turn to the worst distress. Time, the mighty power of time. Time can grind things down gradually, and even in a moment, things can change. And it's not just in some story or horror movie, but things like that have happened to you and me and will happen again and again and again in future if we don't become Krishna conscious. This is how we can see everything with the philosophical eye, as Balaram said to Rukmini. Just to give an example, in the Bhagavatam we have great personalities, in the Mahabharata we have great personalities. Dushasana was also a great personality. He was greatly bad, but he was great. So he may think that, well, greatly terrible things happen to greatly honored and well-known people. But horrible things happen to ordinary people. Ordinary people. I heard the following. An astrologer, godbrother of mine, sent me, he just sent, this is the kind of letter that I get all the time, he said to me, as an astrologer. He's dealing with people's suffering. Okay, I'll read it. It's not pleasant. My son was extremely premature and has ongoing difficulties due to his prematurity. He had a grade 3 bleed on his brain left hemisphere and a grade 4 bleed on his brain right hemisphere when he was born. This resulted in cerebral palsy affecting his left side as the brain needs to work harder to use it. This causes difficulties with balance and he cannot walk without help yet. His left hand is less effective than his right hand when normally at his age he should be ambidextrous and he tiptoes on his left foot when he walks. So he needs special shoes and splint to correct this tiptoe plus daily stretches and massaging. He also has speech delays and doesn't say any words yet, partly caused by needing to concentrate so much on movement and partly by the brain bleeds, making coordinating the mouth harder. He is quite highly strung and needs a lot of emotional management, partly from movement and speech delays, making it difficult for him to burn energy, do what he needs to and communicate, and partly being very sensitive and easily overwhelmed from a tough start in life. Things have to be very rigidly planned to ensure he does not get overwhelmed. For example, he cannot attend kirtans or sanghas due to the number of people and volume. He also had treatment for RROP for his eyes caused by his being so premature. I would like remedial measures to minimize the impact of his prematurity. At his age, the brain is still very, very elastic and can wire around the injury. I would like his left hand to be nearly as effective as his right, perhaps 80 to 90%. I would like the special shoes he wears to be enough to help his left foot so that he never needs further measures such as permanent splints, surgery, or medication. I would like him to be able to catch up to his peers in terms of movement and speech. I would like him to need no further treatment for his eyes and for no behavior or learning disorders to emerge from his neurological complications. I would like him to feel safe and settled in his body in any environment. Part of my aim in all of this is to allow him to focus more on Krishna consciousness and less on what his body is doing or the feeling of being overwhelmed he is experiencing currently on a frequent basis. If he needs less specialist care, we can free time up currently being spent going to hospital appointments or managing him, and we can homeschool him without any reprimand or doubts or send him to an ISKCON nursery and Gurukul without worrying about whether they have SENCO, Special Educational Needs Coordinator, support for him. Ordinary people, what we call ordinary people, so much distress in their life. You want to be a movie star? How about being a movie star in a horror movie? You are already. But it's not a movie. It's real. The material world is bibhatsa. It's horrible. It's disgusting. It's ghastly. It's real. Here's a quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Behind the severe prescription of being afflicted by oppression, punishment, and threefold miseries, the incomparable mercy of the Lord flows like the Phalgu River, which flows underground. That's profound. The material world is miserable, but like the Phalgu River, which is not seen, the incomparable mercy of the Lord is flowing. So if we can connect with that, and understand that, then in the midst of so much misery, we can become Krishna conscious. If you're still not satisfied with this answer or this response to this horrible story of Saudas, and I gave more horrible stories. It's not just in the distant past, it's right now. If you're still not satisfied, then here's a statement from one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Uttama Devidasi. During Srimad Bhagavatam class one morning, Srila Prabhupada was discussing the annihilation of the Jadu dynasty and how, in an intoxicated state, they fought with each other. He described that one could make a very nice wine out of rice. I was just about to vow never to take intoxication. This was just before her initiation. I was just about to take a vow never to take intoxication. So I figured I would file that comment in to be understood later. In other words, if we can't understand it, well, Achintya kalu ye bhavana tangs tarkena yojiyat prakritibhya parangyachta tadachintyasya lakshanam. As Mahabharata said, some things are inconceivable. And because they're inconceivable, we shouldn't try to understand them. It makes sense, doesn't it? The nature of the Supreme Lord is inconceivable. Even this material world, some things are inconceivable. We just can't understand. But we have to keep the faith that flowing underground, or not prakat, it's not manifest to our vision, the mercy of Krishna is there. That is my comment on this. These are the thoughts that Krishna blessed in my mind. I'm sure there are many devotees more qualified than myself to give better comments, but as I was asked, this is what I've shared with you, and thank you to my godbrother, whose name I will keep anonymous. He doesn't want it shared, so thank you for giving me the opportunity to go deeper, meditate upon topics of the glorious Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhi evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nidhaya chunakam padayoni patya kritva chakaku shatameta daham ravimi. He sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kurutanu. Parivadatu jano yatha tatha va nanu mukaro navayang vichara yamaha hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilotama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.